Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Join us on the waitfor.com hotline. One of the best GMs in the business, Alex Anthopoulos. I know you're very busy. We appreciate the time, Alex, and congratulations on that sweep.
No, I appreciate it. I know you guys had asked after we made the change with the third base coach, and I didn't go on, not because I was trying to dodge you guys. I felt like a 45-minute Zoom call after, and I figured I didn't want to overdo the media stuff. But in hindsight, right, there was so much garbage that came out after that, whether it's people claiming to be insiders or articles that were so wrong, I probably should have done some media because some of that stuff was way out to lunch, too.
Right on. And that's why we get it from the horse's mouth. First off, we'll go work from last night, work our way back. How excited are you to see Strider kind of really finding velocity and finding some confidence out there?
You know what? I saw him after the game, so, you know, I'm not watching in the club bus, but I go down around the ninth inning, and he was there watching on the TVs, and he was pumped. You know, Spencer's super competitive, super obsessive about his career, and he wants to be great, and I've told him this 100 times. He will squeeze every single inch out of his career, and he will not leave a drop on the table. So he was excited, and I think just stepping up, you know, we went to him and said, how do you feel about throwing on normal rest? We've been giving him extra rest coming off surgery and so on. How do you feel about going normal rest against the Mets? And he was all in, and, you know, we wanted to make sure he was on board with it. But he knows his breaking ball is coming back, command. He can pitch without 100. You know, he still can pitch 95, 96, 97. And command the ball because the ball moves. But he was excited, and it's great. It's, you know, he's slowly starting to build up, and it's a big moment. Those other two guys, Schwalbach and Fale, stepped up big. You know, I don't say there's a lot of pressure, but for him to step up in a moment like that in a big game is huge.
Alex, after you get the result you got in these last three games, how much does it affirm your belief in what this team is capable of and your plan to add to this roster moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, look, we still got a massive hole, you know, so people are like, oh, are you excited, this and that? I mean, yeah, look, I'd rather win than lose, of course, but we're still under 500, so we're not even looking at the standings. We're not, you know, my view on all this stuff, even in years past, is I never look at the standings. If you're winning and you're not playing well, you know you're winning, but the offense doesn't look great, the bullpen doesn't look great, the rotation doesn't look great, you don't really feel good about it, right? So when you start feeling good is when you think parts of the team are clicking. Because then you know if you are clicking, the wins will just follow. So, yeah, you want to win that night because it's still important. But, you know, I believe in this team because the roster and the talent that we have is so strong. And you guys have heard me say this before. I'm a big run differential guy. Our expected one loss, I think, is 39 and 35. But we're not, you know. We are who [S2] Right. [S1] We are. And we're 5 under. But it points to the talent. And, look, we still want to be better than that. But now, if we were 4 back in the loss column or 5 back in the loss column of the division, we'd feel a lot better today, right? So, but right, we could still get on a run. We could still get better. And, you know, look, I'm just not wired to sell and things like that. I mean, it would have to be just so many things pointing in that direction. But when you have a positive run differential and you have the talent we have and it's young, this was an old, aging team in the last year of their contracts and so on. Yeah, then that's a totally different scenario. But these guys are so young. There's so much upside. And we have not played our best baseball yet. And there's 90-some-odd games left or close to it. And even after the trade deadline, people think the season's over. 2 months is an eternity in baseball. And I think that's some teams, in my mind, decide to pull the cord a little too early because 2 months is a long time. So I expect us to be in this thing all the way to the end.
Alex Anthopoulos is with us, guys, Braves GM. And as you said to start the conversation, you know, when things are going south, people are throwing everything out there. And I was saying on the radio, I said, do they just not speak the same language as Tim Hires? Because Seitzer had pretty good success in 23. And I just don't know when a team's not hitting. You know, certainly Brian Snicker can't do anything. You can't do anything. Do you feel that Money Harris is going to come around? Or, I mean, is this where he's going to be living? He's just not going to be a guy that's going to rake for you.
No, great question. And look, and with the coaches too, right? So, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, we had great success with Kevin Seitzer and Bobby Magianis, and they were great. And that was a tough decision because, you know, it was one of those, are we going to trade all these players or do we try? You know, you hate the line you see in sports. We need a new voice.
Right.
The classic cliche line, right?
But we said it.
You know, we ultimately went, yeah, exactly. But, you know, this was the one time, and actually I felt like it applied. It wasn't because, you know, these guys didn't work hard or they didn't connect with the players or, you know, it was but they left it all out on the table in 24, right? They didn't say, oh, I'm saving my good stuff for 2025. Let me hold back in 24, right? So everything they had in their tool belt, they brought it out, and we still didn't ultimately get the results, right? So we ultimately said, do we trade the players or do we try something else? And that's ultimately, unfortunately, is make a change with the coaches. Well, make a change, and obviously Tim Hires is very accomplished, had a ton of success with a lot of teams. You know, at some point, then it goes to the players, right? It's exactly what you're asking about. So, look, Mike, we've seen how good he can be. We've seen how streaky he is. I've talked to him various times over the course of the year. He cares. He's trying. He's working. We're all watching the same thing. He's not a 590 OPS guy or 580 or 650 or 690, capable of so much more. We haven't been able to solve it. He hasn't been able to solve it. So he's a young player going through ups and downs, and, you know, you have to believe in the talent, the work ethic. Sometimes it takes longer than you want it to. I mean, everyone had Marcell Ozuna left for dead for about a year and a half, you know, and then he finally got it going. But even Mike last year got off to a slow start, got hurt, came back. The last 2 months he was on fire. Into the two-game series against the Padres, he was on fire. And even the year prior to that, he was awful at the beginning, and then he caught fire. He talked about talking to Marcell Ozuna, and he caught fire. So, you know, am I seeing anything right now that I can tell you, hey, this guy's about to go off? No. You know, do I know he's working at it every day? Absolutely. So, look, over time, you know, if it continues for a longer period of time, that's, you know, Mike, your point is fair, right? But I'm not there yet, you know, because he's still so young, and I've seen him be so good, and he hasn't done this for a year or 2 years in a row. He's done it for months, chunks of months, but then he's been sizzling hot at the same time.
Raisel Iglesias appears to be rounding back into form, which is great news for Braves country, Alex. But what level of urgency are you placing on bolstering the back end of the bullpen?
Yeah, so I know, and it was talked, and again, we're up there in blown saves. I don't know where we are lately, but we were top two. And right. Look, he's the first guy. He was killing him. You know, he's so proud. He works so hard. And it was absolutely killing him. You know, he was just telling us, just like, I do everything. I run. I mean, this guy's one of the hardest working guys. I'll watch from my office. He's on the field. He's running poles. He's doing everything. But his stuff is still very good. You know, he throws strikes. The home run rate is really high, extremely high, way higher than where it's been in his career. And look, guys are hitting the ball hard, obviously, to hit it over the fence, right? But that could be a double. That could be a lineup. That could be a flyout. But they happen to be going over the fence this year. I do believe he's going to get going and he's going to get hot. Look, back end of the bullpen-wise, I think things are starting to settle in a little bit. I mean, Eniel De Los Santos, a terrible outing against Colorado. Didn't get anybody out. Last night he looked great. Not the same game, but I remember when Joe Jimenez against Colorado after Luke Jackson came in, he didn't get anybody out on that road trip, and then we went to San Francisco. So De Los Santos went into that game with a 2-7. And, you know, right. Lee's been fantastic. I think Dylan Dodd's an emerging left-handed reliever. Aaron Bummer's been very good, solid for us. So, look, I think at the deadline you can always look to add a reliever. We've done it in the past when we added Pierce. And Pierce as well has been streaky, but he's at some moments where he's been really good. So you can always get better, no doubt about it. And I've said this before, I don't think that's our glaring issue. There's definitely room for improvement. You know, the offense for me has been 1, 2, 3, and 4, just getting it going because these guys are capable of being so good.
Right. We'll get Profar back, and unfortunately, if he does rake, we won't have him for the postseason. Obviously, beyond your control.
I'd love to have that problem. Sign me up for that problem right now.
Hopefully, he comes in and kicks
butt. I would bank it today.
What about Marcelo Ozuna? And is there a number in your mind about retaining him, or you feel he's going to trade? He'll get too much in the open market.
No, you know what? Look, Marcel loves being here. Loves it. You know, I know I say that, I feel like, with every free agent. You know, it's like, here we go. Says it every time, and they all leave. So, no, he legit, like, I'm proud of the fact that people love being in Atlanta. They love being here. And that has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the fans, the ballpark, the community, the clubhouse. I think all the support staff we have. I'm not hanging out with those guys, right? And having a competitive winning team. It's not something on our radar right now. You know, we did the contract, we did the club option on it, and he's been so good for us the last little while. So I know you were front and center signing him back way back when, Mike.
Right.
And, you know, it's the greatest comeback in sports because you heard that thing, I was like, man, that was a brutal deal. And I felt terrible. I was like, how did I whiff? You know, and then he brought, and I told him this to his face, greatest comeback in sports. And he's awesome. You know, he's a great guy, and we love having him. So, you know, we have the payroll. We're top 10. You know, that's something that once you get to the winter, you get close to the offseason, then you take stock and say, okay, like we lost A.J. Smith-Sharper. You know, do we have other injuries? What do you need going into 26? What kind of depth do you have? How does it look? Because the landscape changes, the world changes, who's available. So you're careful to commit dollars too early, but at the end of the day, you know, we'll definitely have a conversation with them. We love having them.
Alex, speaking of resources, do you feel like you're given the appropriate amount of resources you need to build the best team possible?
Yes, and I know at fans, we had an A-list event. It's a Brave season ticket holder event. And look, I appreciate people, you know, trying to make excuses for me. Like, oh, you know, you don't have enough money or resources. We have plenty, you know. Top 10, that's plenty. And it's gone up every single year. We've set a record for Braves payroll every year I've been here. We're well over $200 million. We were at 125 when I first got here. Of course we want more. Everyone does. Fans do. You know, even if you're the Yankees or the Dodgers, you want more. And I understand, top four payrolls in the game. Two of them happen to be in the NL East, the Phillies and the Mets. But that's part of the challenge, you know? But it's not like we're 20th or 21st like when I first got here. So they're reinvesting every year. And look, and again, I have plenty. I just have to be better, you know? Like, I spend my money wisely. I can't miss. And I'd love to be able to tell you I'm going to bat 1,000. I'm not, you know? And I'm going to miss. I'm going to make some bad signings. I'm going to make some bad trades. And but I got to get more right than wrong. Otherwise, you'd be talking to somebody else on these calls. So, but, you know, but to me, it's part of the challenge. And look, that's why we have to make tough decisions at times where we have to let guys go. We don't want to go into this scenario where, like some of these other teams, they win the World Series and then they have to tear it down again and go through a rebuild. We're trying to just, you know, continually be good and be contending and be great. And that means taking some risks on some free agents. You know, getting some upside, you know, bringing up young players, giving young guys opportunities. We don't have a salary cap, but when you have a payroll, that is your own internal cap in a way, right? We always have the ability to go above it and beyond it. But, you know, we have the resources. I just, you know, I have to be as good as I can be in my job.
And again, not to double down on it, but okay, too late. My thing, Alex, and I always defend you because I feel like the Phillies, they spend $70 million more than us, and that's like that's the one or two pieces that maybe puts us over the top or keeps us competitive when you're dealing with injuries. And that, I guess that's my beef, if you could just tell the guys to, you know, sign your check.
No, you're right.
Just give me a little more in the envelope.
Yeah, you know what? Look, I say this. Look, there's no doubt having more money, right, it allows you to build more depth. It allows you to paper over things. I mean, I'd probably name them if I spend time on it, but go through our bench pieces over the years. We just don't spend money on the bench, right? And because we're trying to spend money on frontline players. And what happens is injuries happen, drop in performance. Your bench is not as strong as some of these other clubs. And that's an impact. Right now, we try to target healthy guys as frontline guys, guys that are going to be durable, guys that are going to be out there, right? So you're trying to manage and balance all that stuff. But I'll tell you this, it's exciting when you get a chance to beat those guys too, because you know you're doing it with less. So, and we've done it before. So, look, the way that the process is set up is, you know, the team is set up to, players are set up to get more expensive every single year. It's supposed to get harder every single year. We want the Olsons and the Rileys and the Harrises and the Striders and all these guys to make 10, 15, 20, 25 million bucks, whatever it's going to be, because that means they're doing well, right? We don't want them not making money, getting non-tendered, becoming free agents. We want them to be all-stars. But when they're coming up and they make the minimum like a Drake Baldwin, it's great. I want him to be an all-star. I want him to be an MVP. He'll ultimately get paid, which he deserves to, and he should. But then there's an opportunity cost, right? And there's only so much pie to go around. So now we have to bring up the next Drake Baldwin and give him a chance and let a Travis d'Arnaud go, who's awesome and is a clubhouse leader. It's $8 million that we can reallocate. And it's tough because that's great value for us, having Travis d'Arnaud on a one-year deal at $8 million. But because other guys are starting to get paid, we have to make tough decisions. And, look, Charlie Morton, the same way, we're giving Grant Holmes an opportunity. You know, he's making the minimum, but that allows us to reallocate money to some of these other guys that we've signed.
Right. It seems like he's going through Drake Baldwin, what Austin Riley went through. There's that adjustment period. He cooled off this month. And I've been a proponent of saying, hey, if you can get some assets for Sean Murphy, again, I don't expect you to answer that question. I'm just bloviating.
I'll answer it.
But I think that gives you an opportunity based on what you just talked about with your budget to maybe pick up some things and let Drake Baldwin blossom in that role full time.
Sure. And what I'd say is, because I know you're a big NFL fan, And Mike, I'll say this just separately, and not to blow smoke, but I really respect the fact that you buy season tickets to these teams, not the Braves from what I understand, but the United, Falcons, and you go and you show up and you love it and you support, and this isn't just a gig for you. But look, I'd say this, for the catching position, if we had, you know, two shortstops or whatever, I'd understand your point. And I still understand your point, right? I view the catching position as a two-person position. There is no catcher, I believe, in the history of baseball, or at least current baseball, I know for sure, that will play 162 or 142. It just doesn't happen, right? You're likely going to do 100 games, probably maybe 110, 115 on the high end. And there's a high likelihood of getting injured, right? Foul tips, collisions,
right?
Not that you're supposed to collide, and all that type of stuff. And you're always going to have day game after night game and so on. And it's a little bit like the NFL. Well, look, we have Bijan here, right, who gets the majority of the carries. But a lot of these other teams, right, like you take a look at the Lions, right? You got Gibbs and you got Montgomery. You got both. It's a two-person position, and they're valuable and they're important, and you talk about depth. So I personally view it as critically important as to have two. Now, that's my opinion. It's fair for someone to say, look, I don't care. Run a guy out there at 120. We'll get Joe Blow to catch the 40 and go trade this guy to get another spot. That's a fair point. It's got merit. From a philosophical standpoint, we put so much on that position with leadership, game calling, what they do to the guys on the mound and everything else, and it's hard to quantify, that I view it as a two-person position, and it's probably going to stay that way unless, look, something presents itself where it's a no-brainer. I've told players to their face, I'll throw you in the trunk and we're going to drive to wherever and I'll deliver you, you know, but
right.
Realistically, that isn't going to happen.
Alex, before we let you go real quick, a little bit on Didier Fuentes, and then also, has the way Ronald Acuña Jr. been amazing out of the gate make you think about his future in Atlanta?
Yeah, so Didier Fuentes, he's starting tonight. A lot of debate whether we should call him up. Not that he's not talented and so on, but look, he's just turned 20. And look, we've been aggressive. You guys have seen it the years I've been here, and it's not that I want it to be that way, but I'm glad that we're in a position to win and we have a sense of urgency. If we were, you know, felt we had no chance to win and so on, we'd let all these guys stay down there. Grissom, Strider, Harris, Soroka, Fuentes, Smith-Schauber. But if we think you'd give us the best chance to win, we're going to pull, you know, we're definitely going to make the call. So he's got he sits 95, will touch a 7 and an 8. The fastball's outstanding. I don't want to say it's like Strider's, but the same way Strider's fastball's got, we call it hop or ride, or basically you can really get swing and miss up in the zone. He has that. He's got great extension. He's not tall, but the ball will get on you just with his extension. So it's a really good fastball. It plays. He throws it a lot, and he's got good power to it. I've seen him twice now. I love having our affiliates so close to us. You know, Columbus is a new affiliate. If anyone hasn't been, awesome environment. It's an hour 45 away. And if you like Canadian coffee, they have a Tim Hortons there. So really, really close. I give them a plug.
Right.
But I saw him there. I was impressed with him. And his last start before he had a blister, struck out 9 guys in 4 innings. He started really working on a curveball, and we thought that unlocked some things. And I told our farm director, I said, you know what? You know, he's coming back, and we knew we might need a start. And I said, if he comes back to Double A and he throws well, I don't know that it's real, and I don't know that you know, I'm going to buy it, but I'm probably still going to be willing to make the move to call him up. I'd rather have him have that next starting Gwinnett. If he gets killed, it'll definitely have us pump the brakes. But if he throws well, that'll make me feel better about calling him up. So he went up there. I went to see him in Gwinnett, which is another great place to be, 45 minutes away. And, you know, he threw great. And he's our best option right now. He's not a finished product. He could still use more time. But the secondary stuff is good. It's inconsistent. He's got a curveball, a slider, and a split. The fastball is plus right now. He will hit on the curveball, the slider, and the split, especially the curveball, but it's going to be hit and miss. But I think he gives us a chance to win. And then, look, Acuna, he's got 3 years beyond the current year. Most times when you're talking about second contracts with guys, that only becomes really a topic of conversation, I'd say historically amongst teams, when a guy's going into his free agent year.
Brother, we always appreciate the time, Alex. And, again, we got 10-15 more questions, but unfortunately, we got to pay the commercial bills, but thank you so much. And hey, man, yeah, I never like to get freebies, but you know, I got my All-Star ticket, so I'll be there. I'll see you there for the weekend.
Sprinkle the infield a little bit, sure.
Right on, all right. But hey, thanks again for the time.
I have a connection there. I know some guys. I'll have them try to set you up.
I'm up in the 300 right, section with the working man. Thanks, Alex. Take care,
yes,
brother.
See you guys. Bye.
That's Alex Anthopoulos here on WZGC.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Atlanta?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the morning shift. It's Mike Johnson, Squidbilly Bo Morgan, and Miss Allie Mack. And we are pleased to be joined by NASCAR champion, Mr. Ryan Blaney, driver of the 12 car. Fresh off a trip, Ryan, down to Mexico City. Man, hope you're doing well. How did the trip down to Mexico go? It looked like a lot of fanfare down there.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, honestly. And, you know, I thought the track put on a great race. A lot of kind of unknowns, obviously, when you go to a place, you know, a track for the first time and just trying to learn it, you know, through the weekend and then getting a, little bit of a curveball thrown our way with it raining at the start of it and not making any laps in the wet before. But I thought that was fun. It's like, how do you learn under fire like that? You know, how do you and your team and me as a driver, like, how do you get the most out of your car after not making any laps in practice in the wet and just throwing on rain tires and like, all right, well, here we go. I don't know how to drive this place in the wet. So you just learn, you know, as you're in it. And but I thought it was great. It was a fun weekend. The fans out there were awesome. It was so cool to meet everybody, you know, through the weekend, you know, day of the race, stuff like that. It was a lot of people have maybe never seen a cup race before. You know, I met a lot that maybe it was their first race in general. But I also met a lot that were huge fans of the NASCAR Mexico Series. So they're already motorsports fans. It was cool that they could come, you know, see us compete, and it was neat for us, you know, to compete for those folks. So it was a good weekend, and you know, but now it's turning the page and moving on to Pocono.
Well, before we do that, and look, I got to admit to you, Bo and I are both massive NASCAR fans. I've followed your career for a long time, so we're excited to have you on. There's something you said, Ryan. I think it was 10 or 11 years ago, the old 12 questions with Jeff Gluck. And I think about this every single time. And I thought about it watching the race at Mexico where you guys drive through the stands. You said something to Jeff Gluck about it had to have been at least 11 years ago. You said if you could design a racetrack, that you would design a road course, but it would have 20-degree banking. I swear, since you said that, I have thought about nothing like that, and then all of a sudden, when you guys go to Mexico City and you have such a unique track like that, where are we at on the 20-degree Texas-style banking on the road course? You're a champion now. I feel like you can pull some strings.
Yeah, you know, that's funny that you brought that up, because I did another 12 questions with Gluck this past weekend, and he brought that up. He's like, you know, 10, 12 years ago, this is what you said. He's like, is your answer still the same? I was like, yeah, man. Like, yeah, that'd be a cool racetrack, you know, have like a super long, well, I mean, gosh, Mexico City had it, you know, like their front straightaway is like 30 feet shorter than Talladega backstretch, right? So just a massive, massive straightaway. But then I think that'd be cool to have that straightaway and then into like a Talladega style banking. I think that'd be super cool. So yeah, I think my track layout design is still the same. If I ever can, you know, if I hit the lottery and can build a racetrack, I think that'd be still the way to go.
2023 NASCAR Cup champion Ryan Blaney joining us here on the morning shift. You know, you're going, I believe, this week to Pocono. That's a place where you got your first actual Cup Series win. And you really, that you had to fight for that one. I remember watching that, you and Kyle Busch, you and Kevin Harvick, y'all kind of battled that out. What was that like in that first victory, battling those two Cup champions for your first Cup win?
Yeah, super cool. That was, you know, a special day, obviously, and something you never forget is your first, you know, win in any series, honestly, and especially your first cup win. Yeah, it definitely wasn't the most relaxing end of the race. You know, having to battle, you know, Kyle Busch there for the lead, and then I get the lead. I'm like, okay, I think I got smooth sailing to the end. The next thing I know, Harvick is just breathing down my neck, and it's like, all right, don't make a mistake now and give this thing away and miss out on a big opportunity. So I go back and see highlights of that race every now and then. It brings back some good memories, you know, of that day, that evening, just being able to celebrate with your, you know, your team that go to, you know, war with you every single week. And so, yeah, that was a fun day, and you'll never forget those first ones. And it was, you know, makes it special every time you go back to that place. And it was cool to win there again last year, you know, 7 years later from the first one. And we'll try to do the same thing again. We'll try to repeat it.
Ryan, Mike told you, you know, we're massive NASCAR fans. I noticed, I'm assuming you post it on Spotify as well, but I always see it on Instagram. You post like a screenshot of your playlist for each track. Like, how do you come up with that playlist? Because you're a big Whiskey Myers guy. We're big Whiskey Myers guys. We listen to, we were here. They came to Atlanta. We went. You've always seems to have some kind of variation of a Whiskey Myers type band. How do you come up with that playlist before each race?
Yeah. Yeah, the Spotify playlist is something that we've been doing, you know, the last couple of years, and it's kind of a combo between myself and Justin, you know, a guy who works for me and buddy of mine, and we just kind of we try to do songs, you know, whether it's new ones that kind of I hear through, you know, the past week or month, or it's kind of bands from that area of where we're going, or maybe they sing about that area of where we're going. So it's just kind of a unique thing. It was his idea. Honestly, I can't really take credit for the idea. But it's been really fun because I hear people, you know, like you guys come up and be like, man, I like the playlist. I really got to enjoy this band because of this playlist or things like that. And it's just a fun way to discover new music. You know, so I, like you said, Whiskey Myers, those guys are awesome. One of my favorite, you know, bands and artists out there. You know, so it's been fun to get to know those guys. They're huge race fans too. So it's fun when kind of worlds can collide like that. Of, hey, I'm a fan of your stuff. And they're like, yeah, I'm a fan of what you do too. And you just create this relationship that way. And I go try to see them every time I can. If the stars align and I can go see those guys perform, they put on, they're one of the best live shows, honestly, that I've ever seen. So, yeah, the playlist is fun. I'm happy people like it. And it's always fun to throw some new stuff on there.
Ryan Blady, driver of the number 12 car, hanging out with us today on the Morning Shift, previewing the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart down at the newly dubbed Echo Park Speedway. That'll be a Saturday night race. I'm assuming, Ryan, that you enjoy the night racing. Obviously, with it being Saturday night down at Echo Park Speedway next weekend, it's a little bit different. It is a drafting-style track. What do you expect to be different this time around as opposed to back in February? It's always an exciting race down at Echo Park Speedway since the redesign, but what do you think is going to be different this time around specifically in regards to this track?
Yeah, it always does, you know, put on an exciting show. And, you know, I feel like a place is super tricky because, you know, since the repave, you know, a few years ago, the track changes every time we go back, you know, it just ages every single time. And so now, right, honestly, the handling gets worse and worse every time we go there. So it's, how do you balance that out of, like, since it's a drafting track now, it's like, how do you balance the drag versus downforce side of it? So I feel like every time we go back, that's always the play. It's like, all right, how much grip do we think it lost from the previous race to now? And how do we set our car up? Like, do you tune a little bit more downforce in it to where you can be more aggressive, or hey, you know, you don't want to put too much downforce in it because now you're too slow in the draft. So it's always that little balance, and it's just the unknown of that place. How much grip it loses every single time. That's really tough. But now you add in, right, it's Saturday night. All right, the track's going to be cooler. It's going to have a little bit more grip than what we think. So how do you adjust to that? But it is going to be warm. You know, Saturday night, it's going to be warm here in June. So I love that place. It's a ton of fun. And it's not your typical drafting track like a Daytona Talladega. Like, handling is way worse than those places. I feel like there's more areas to make moves. And if your car is handling well, you can actually drive from the back to the front, as opposed to, it's a little bit tougher at like Talladega, Daytona. So I look forward to going there. We've ran really good there. I'd like to win at that place. I won there before the repave. And we've been close a couple times. I think we run second there by 4 inches, you know, a couple years ago. So hopefully we can find our way to victory lane, because that place is so much fun. Fans there are great. And it always puts on a good show, like y'all said.
I'm assuming, Ryan, that you enjoy the night racing. Obviously, with it being Saturday night down at Echo Park Speedway next weekend, it's a little bit different. It is a drafting-style track. What do you expect to be different this time around as opposed to back in February? It's always an exciting race down at Echo Park Speedway since the redesign. But what do you think is going to be different this time around specifically in regards to this track?
Yeah, it always does, you know, put on an exciting show. And you know, I feel like a place is super tricky because, you know, since the repave, you know, a few years ago, the track changes every time we go back, you know, it just ages every single time. And so now, right, honestly, the handling gets worse and worse every time we go there. So it's, how do you balance that out of, like, since it's a drafting track now, it's like, how do you balance the drag versus downforce side of it? So I feel like every time we go back, that's always the play. It's like, all right, how much grip do we think it lost from the previous race to now? And how do we set our car up? Like, do you tune a little bit more downforce in it to where you can be more aggressive, or hey, you know, you don't want to put too much downforce in it because now you're too slow in the draft. So it's always that little balance, and it's just the unknown of that place. How much grip it loses every single time. That's really tough. But now you add in, right, it's Saturday night. All right, the track's going to be cooler. It's going to have a little bit more grip than what we think. So how do you adjust to that? But it is going to be warm, you know, Saturday night, it's going to be warm here in June. So, I love that place. It's a ton of fun. It's And it's not your typical drafting track like a Daytona, Talladega. Like, handling is way worse than those places. I feel like there's more areas to make moves. And if your car is handling well, you can actually drive from the back to the front. As opposed, it's a little bit tougher at like Talladega, Daytona. So I look forward to going there. We've ran really good there. I'd like to win at that place. I won there before the repave. And we've been close a couple times. I think we run second there by 4 inches, a couple years ago. So hopefully we can find our way to Victory Lane, because that place is so much fun. Fans there are great, and it always puts on a good show, like y'all said.
Yeah, we were both standing there in the back of this dude's 2500 watching that photo finish from the infield. Look, I want to ask you about super speedways, because I heard years ago your old landlord, Dale Jr., was talking about the difference in some guys want to ride in the front the whole race, some guys want to ride in the back at super speedways. You seem to be a guy that likes to ride in the front at super speedways. What's the benefit of that as opposed to riding around back until the very end?
Yeah. I mean, like y'all said, everyone has a little bit different mindset at those places. I've always wanted to be up towards the front and kind of controlling as much as you can. Because, like, to me, if I can go out and lead a lane or, be second row in a lane, like, all right, I'm doing something. I'm making a difference. I'm kind of controlling this race. And hopefully I'm in front of all the chaos. So that's just where I've been most comfortable. That's where me and my team feel most comfortable. Me and my spotter is when we're kind of in control. And you're just really being able to dictate what lane goes where. And like I said, I think it's the safest place, as opposed to riding mid pack or two thirds in the back. It just gets more difficult when you go there. Cause then, all right, you're trying to avoid the big one. It could happen right in front of you, but also now you have to make up all that ground at the end of the race. And it's a lot tougher to do than if you're at the front, you're kind of protecting. So it's just where I've been most comfortable. I've found the most success when I can go out and control these things. So I try to find myself up towards the front. It's a lot easier said than done, but that's just been our mindset for a long time.
Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 car, hanging out with us here on the Morning Shift, previewing next weekend's Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. That'll be happening 7 o'clock Saturday night at Echo Park Speedway. Ryan, just a couple more questions for you before we let you go. I don't know if you saw this. Kenny Wallace set off a little bit of a firestorm on Twitter over the weekend, or at least after the race on Sunday. And he was asked about, Richard Childress Racing and some of the things going on over there. And he made a statement that I think you're uniquely qualified to answer. He says there was less competition when Dale Sr. drove for RCR in the NASCAR Cup Series. Obviously, your dad being a driver that was around at that time. What do you think of that? Do you think there's less competition? There was less competition back in the 90s. And do you think it's tougher now with all the teams, honestly, seemingly having a shot given each and every week?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer, man. I mean, now you're getting into the era questions, right? Like, right. You see it in all different sports, right? With people who are like, what's the big debate always is Michael Jordan or LeBron or Kobe the GOAT, right? And it's like, well, it's so different eras of the sport. Like, I hate comparing that because it changes all the time. Like, do I think somebody in the 90s could jump in a car today and be as good as they once were? No. Do I think I could jump in a car from the 90s and be as competitive back then as I am today? No, just because you're not used to that, right? Like, so that's super hard to compare. Look, winning in any sport in any era is really tough, right? You're trying to beat the best of the best in that certain day and age. So I don't know. I mean, that's such a tough question. I think it's hard no matter where you're at, no matter what decade, no matter what era. It's super hard to be the best in that generation. So I don't really have an answer on that. I just think, I guess, yes to all of it, to where it's hard no matter where it is,
Fair enough.
That's a very safe question. I think you don't really – I angered some people with my takes last night on our NASCAR Fantasy League. But, hey, I know you're essentially a third-generation driver, right? Your dad obviously drove. We all watched your dad drive. Do you go to him for advice on things? Do you talk to him often about, each week and everything? Or is that something that he's like, you got your own career, and it is different now than when he drove?
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky to still have my dad around and someone that I can go talk to if I just need to, you know, hey, what do you think about this? Or even like during the weekends, like my dad still comes to a lot of races, and I'll ask him like, hey man, you know, we'll go to Martinsville. I'm like, hey, go down to turns 1-2, you know, through practice and just watch. And, you know, then we'll talk after practice and I'll be like, well, what do you think? You know, what did you see? You know, who looks good? Does my car look like it needs to do what it's doing? Is someone else doing something different that maybe looks better? Because he has that knowledge and, you know, and I trust his knowledge. So I wouldn't say like every week I'm calling him like, man, what do you think about this? But he's just always someone that I can talk to if he's around and I trust his opinion because he just understands, right, the sport and understands what to look for in certain things. So it's a great relationship that I have with my dad that I'm lucky to have and trust his opinion and I'm able to use him, you know, if I have some questions.
All right, I know you got to go, so we're going to let you go. I just got a couple rapid-fire questions for you. I think you'll be...
We're trying not to nerd out here, Ryan. Sorry about that.
All right, what your favorite Star Wars movie?
It goes either way, man. Phantom Menace was the first one I ever saw, so that's up there, just nostalgia, but I feel like my overall favorite one is Empire.
Oh, that's one I go with always. Your favorite character from Trailer Park Boys?
Man, I didn't really watch a lot of Trailer Park Boys, so I can't give you a good answer, dude. I'm sorry.
Brother. Are you an iRacing guy?
I'm not. Wow. I'm not.
Okay.
I can't do the sim stuff.
Wow. All right. Who's the one guy that you don't want behind you on the track?
Every one of them. Well, actually, I want every one of them behind me. That's a better answer. I want all of them behind me because that means I'm leading the thing and might win it.
All right. Your favorite old school NASCAR gear to wear? Because you wear a ton of it. I see it all. Every time you post a picture, I feel like you're wearing old school gear.
Yeah. I have a lot of cool stuff, man. I'll tell you, one of the coolest things I got is I got a Harry Gantt signed hat when he was in the school Bandit car. That's a cool one. If you can find a signature on that stuff, I love wearing that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. All right, man, we appreciate it. I'll let you go. I won't hammer you anymore.
I got one more quick thing before we let you go. Ryan, I've been trying to get Echo Park Speedway to come up with a nickname. I've dubbed it the Echo Chamber. Can I just get a grade on a scale from 1 to 10? The Echo Chamber for Echo Park
Echo
Speedway.
Echo Chamber? I love that, man.
Yes.
I think that's the best one I've heard so far.
Oh, man, we appreciate it so much. Like I said, try not to nerd out here with Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 car and NASCAR Cup champion. Man, thank you so much for hanging out with us today and look forward to hoping to see you guys next weekend. Obviously, we'll be at the track doing live radio.
Sounds good, man. Thank you all for having me.
Thanks
we'll
for
see
coming.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Thank you.
All right. Are we going to use those picks, shop them picks, use those picks, and shop those players? Steve Kotick joins us right now. Steve, what should Hawks fans expect coming up next Wednesday?
Hawks fans should expect high humidity, temperatures in the mid to high 80s.
And 90s, Steve, team, 90s.
90s. And a team that's working very hard to improve itself.
It's going to be hot in Hotlanta for Hawks fans.
Well, I mean, again, it takes two to tango right now. I think the Kevin Durant business is kind of clogging everything, and once that gets resolved, I think you'll right. see a lot of teams making calls, doing things, but the phones are busy, but there's nothing really to report today.
Steve, when you see a player of Desmond Bane's caliber, who is by all accounts a very good two-way player, attain four first-round picks, what does that to you signal about the market?
Well, it signals to me that Orlando thought he was a key piece. I don't think you can take really anything macro and apply it to it. I think it's somebody that they truly wanted. They thought he paid would plug in well with Jalen Suggs and their two big guys up front. But it seems to me like, you know, we did this with DeJounte. We gave three number one 3 years ago. So I think there's an ever it just kind of comes unique to the player, the team, and situation. I don't think it's a blanket. One size doesn't fit all, and I wouldn't apply the Desmond Bane to any other expectations that people have.
I know, Steve, that all we want to do with whatever space we have is to get an all-star along with Trey. I know that Jalen Johnson is perceived to be on the cusp of being an all-star, and obviously an upper body injury cannot be foreseen. It is what it is. But do you feel that you can, at least right now, a week out, tell Hawks fans that, you know, this is the offseason where we get that, you know, the Batman and Robin dynamic, however you want to describe it, that star player to play with Trey?
Well, Mike, I can't be put in that position. I appreciate your trying, and you did a damn good job. But I can't promise that because, once again, it takes two to tango. We are looking to improve our team in every aspect. And that's really the only thing that I can assure our fans of.
When it comes to roster building, I think it's safe to say that the era of the big three has come and gone, and now the secret sauce to winning is about organizational depth from the first player to the last player on the bench. We're witnessing that right now in the finals. So with the core nucleus intact, how important does it become to build around that successfully this offseason?
I think that's a great question. I think it becomes really, really important, and I think we need, you know, help and depth at the center position and at the guard position. And I think that those were areas last year when Clint got hurt and Onyeka really broke out, but there was no depth behind him. And so we're looking at, you know, hopefully developing our own players, which is the primary job today with the markets. But, you know, if we could find a great rim runner who also spreads the court, that would be amazing.
More on the Braves sweep of the Mets, guys. Some Falcon talk as well coming up next hour right now. Talking with Hawks CEO Steve Kunin about the draft night, Wednesday night draft party for the fans. Will be down there at State Farm. And I know that, you know, Trey, he's a dude that has, you know, certainly evolved. We talked about the leadership, everything checking all the boxes. The assists were up. And again, the bench is there. It's that player. And I know I'll put you – I apologize, Steve. I love you. I'm just going to ask the question because people want to know. Can we expect – if it makes sense. Now, it's a unique situation. I know hypotheticals, but maybe doing more than the bare minimum, perhaps getting into a luxury apron if that makes this team a demonstrably better team.
Yeah, the financial part's not a problem. We're not looking to save money. We're looking to roster build and do it the right way. You look at what Phoenix, the situation they're in. I opened this by saying the Kevin Durant trade. No secret, they have to make moves because they went all in and they didn't go all in on the right team. And now they literally are so limited in what they can do. It's going to plague that franchise for many years. So we're going to do what we believe is the best thing long term for the franchise. And hopefully the fans will see the wisdom and, you know, and the team will prove it on the floor, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about, is delivering on the floor. We could argue all day, makes great radio, got to happen on the floor.
No, and I don't want a $50 million-plus guy, you know, at the end of his career, who's just going to, and I would put words in your mouth, it's my take, is going to demand to be traded in 18 months anyway, and you'd have to move on some assets. You know, any team that would want that trade would want a Jalen Johnson in the mix, and I don't want to give up on that guy. So it just brings us back to, you know, can you do it? Is free? Should let me ask you this: can fans expect more maybe through free agency? And it could be some of its parts with some worker bees, but really good worker bees.
Well, I think I think the combination of draft, free agency, and trade are going to build our roster. There's no doubt about it. And we have, you know, we have a lot of people who would like to get our draft positions. We're getting a tremendous amount of call about the 13th pick and the 22nd pick. So there's great value there, which, again, gives us an opportunity to roster build because, let's be honest, rookies cost less money, which allows you to bring in and, you know, pay veterans more. So it's all a mosaic, and putting it together is happening as we speak.
How much does the franchise value the two first-round picks? How much are you willing to, and have you been willing to listen to calls? As you said, the calls are coming in, but what is the value right now on picks 13 and 22?
Well, the value's high, and only fools don't listen, you know, because somebody might make us an offer we can't refuse, to quote the Godfather. So there are a lot of good players in this draft. You know, last year we were fortunate enough to jump from 10th position to the first pick in the draft and got Zachary Reflette, who we feel very, very good about and a real piece to build around. He's still 19 years old. And we think there's some really, really good pieces in this draft as well. So I'm excited.
Is our man Steve Coonan, Guys Hawks CEO, talking about our Atlanta Hawks, or not talking about our Atlanta Hawks here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What do you think about the finals, man? NBA's got to be happy going to 7. Pacers were electric. Siakam, who unfortunately we couldn't get to Atlanta. We tried. He was obviously doing some great things last night. What do you think, man? Do you think the Pacers can pull out the comeback, or you like the Thunder?
Yeah, I mean, every bit of logic says the Thunder will win at home and they'll win decisively. But you want to talk about back against the wall, down 3-2, up against this juggernaut of a team. Halliburton, the best player on Indiana, you know, is injured, where if this was normal regular season, he'd be out 2 to 3 weeks. And lo and behold, they blow them out of the gym. And this is why we love sports, because it is truly unscripted television.
When you guys are planning around this time with the draft right around the corner, in terms of planning, in terms of future spending, in terms of allocation, how much goes into it in terms of projection, in terms of win-loss total, in terms of if our record is X at this point in the season, we'll be able to spend Y? Are those things constantly evolving and being planned for?
Well, it's not really spending. There are so many rules that I don't think our listeners would be that thrilled for me to go into all the technical pieces, because you can't trade value for non-value. You can't add $50 million of salary unless you have that kind of, you know, openness in your budget. And I think Brooklyn's the only one with that kind of, you know, who's rebuilding, has the only one with that kind of money available. So you have to match the dollars coming in and the dollars coming out. And so, yes, we constantly look at it. And, you know, there are the new TV deal starts this year. The salary cap line is $187 million, $32 million increase over last year. So at $187 million, we should be able to roster build and build something that, you know, allows us to continue to grow. And the whole idea is to get better. That is the single idea, to continue to improve the team.
Hey, man, Falcon Report's coming up. What Alex Anthopoulos told Dukes and Bell earlier today. It's our man Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, as we're live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. And for guys that are new to the show, Steve, in addition to being a great ballroom dancer, was a TV executive. He started off on the Coca-Cola side. Then he basically, all your favorite stuff on TNT, TBS, that's Uncle Steve. So what the heck's going on with the Stanley Cup? We had great excitement, tons of action, because the casual fan wants scoring. You got all that, Steve. And the NHL Finals are getting outdrawn by women's softball.
Well, I think a big piece of the problem is one of the two teams was headquartered in Canada. And so you don't have two U.S. markets, major markets that are driving it. Right. And, you know, hockey has always traditionally been less of a draw than, you know, the big three, baseball, football, and, of course, NBA basketball. So it's it was a good series. You know, repeat champion, good series, great games. I think 4 of the 6 went to overtime. But it's a combination of the shrinking cable universe. And, you know, I don't think people were that familiar with the players.
How quickly are Bryson Graham and Peter Dinwiddie getting acclimated, and how involved will they be in the draft process?
Oh, they're very acclimated and very involved. I mean, they're working literally 18-hour days. And with their experience, they're bringing a lot to the table. We're really happy and fortunate to have them on our team. I like what we've built in the front office.
All right, Steve-O, what do you got planned this weekend, man? What are you cooking? A steak would say. What do you got? What is Steve Coonan eating this weekend?
I have no earthly idea. Steak, you know, gets a little more into food. I'm trying to lose the weight, not accentuate the weight. So I have no earthly idea. But, you know, just hanging out with our kids and our grandkids, which to me is the best weekend.
Sounds like Steve's going to do a Manly Man American weekend. Hot dogs, some burgers on the grill.
Sounds good to me.
just do it. It's a non sequitur. I just do it after. Steve, have a great weekend, brother. Take care.
All right. Be care. Bye.
Right now, though, let's get our weekly visit. One of our favorite guests, one of the best podcasts in town, and just a good dude, Bryant McFadden with CBS Sports, joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Two-time Super Bowl winner with your Steelers. Are your Steelers going to win a playoff game this year? Let's start right there. Mike Tomlin going to win a playoff game with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, hopefully, we can get into the playoffs, right? Now, to your question, the Steelers haven't had an issue getting into the playoffs. It's about having a short visit in the playoffs. And can they win a playoff game? I mean, potentially. I think it's safe to say, you know, the AFC will be a very, very competitive conference, starting with the top three teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. But in terms of winning a playoff game, we're going to need flashes of the old Aaron Rodgers to surface, if that is going to happen, when you're playing against some of the best quarterbacks in the league from the teams that I mentioned.
B, you know that Shedeur Sanders certainly not helping himself in the news with the two driving incidents, but what do you think what do you think his camp is telling him as he has an uphill battle already in Cleveland just to get minutes playing quarterback?
I mean, I think they're telling him to continue to do what he's been doing thus far. You know, outside of the driving citation, it sounds like he's been doing everything. He's been exceeding the expectations, I'll say that. You know, we've been hearing positive things with him on the grass with the guys, and just continue to do that. And me personally, you know, Chris, Mike, it's not a big deal for me. I mean, yeah. I think about this. Like, when you 20, 21, 22, 23, how many citations have you got? Speeding a little bit. You know what I mean? It happens.
Yep.
Now, the issue would be if this becomes more of a consistent thing. But the attention that he's received from this one citation, I think is a bit overblown in my opinion, because before this, we've heard nothing but great things coming from Shedeur since he's been a part of the Browns organization.
It's our man Bryant McFadden joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I know this is kind of like the quiet time, where please, and it's funny because Shedeur just kind of violated the rules, don't get in trouble, keep your nose clean between now and when camp starts in just about a month's time. But what was your summer like, man? Do guys just get away from football, or do they still watch tape? Or how did you process, man, knowing that you're going back to battle for the Steelers?
Oh, there's no getting away. You know, whatever vacation you had in place, you probably already taken it. Because to your point, you're about to be in July, and teams start reporting July 20th. You know, heck, I think some teams, even the rookies report July 15th. So camp is right around the corner. So everything that you establish in terms of conditioning and being ready to go, you don't want to lose that, you know, taking a full week off. You want to be active to some degree. You might not have the intensity right now to start off, but the intensity will pick up as you get closer to mid-July. So me personally, you know, I was a guy that already wanted to have the trips out of the way because football is right around the corner. You want to make sure you're going in feeling as good as possible.
B, when it comes to the AFC, Lamar is not a guy that is boisterous and says a lot, but he did say this week that he is out for vengeance after another year failing in the playoffs. Right now, where do you sit the following three teams? The Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs.
Chiefs 1, Buffalo 2, Baltimore 3. And the reason why I have the ranking ranked like that is because, number one, until I see otherwise in playoff football, Pat Mahomes has found ways to beat the other two quarterbacks. Secondly, Josh Allen has taken strides. You know what I mean? You look at what he did in the playoffs. That Baltimore game, he outperformed Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? So that should warrant him being above Lamar Jackson. Number two, I mean, lastly, is Lamar Jackson. And I'll say this, guys. Baltimore didn't lose that divisional round game because Lamar Jackson didn't play his best. He played better football than what we saw in the previous AFC Championship game against Kansas City. But the issue for Baltimore, guys, collectively speaking, not just one player, but the entire team, when they get in postseason play, they don't make routine plays happen routinely. And that's what good teams do. That's why Kansas City is always at the cream of the crop, because they make routine plays happen routinely. Example, let's go back to 2 years ago, right?
Right.
Baltimore had the number one seed, AFC Championship game in Baltimore. A routine play, a crossing route, Zay Flowers catches the ball, reaches to extend himself over the goal line. Legarius Sneed made a great play. That was a routine throwing catch. He just had to finish the play. Remember, that fumble turned the course of that ball game in favor of Kansas City winning that ball game. Most recently, last year's playoff game, Buffalo-Baltimore. A two-point opportunity to give the Ravens an opportunity to win that ball game. A routine play. Out route to Mark Andrews. A routine play happened routinely. We didn't see that. Those are the missed opportunities that have really prevented the Baltimore Ravens from doing what we believe they are talented enough to do, which is play for a championship.
Now, B-Mac, I was there in Louisville watching him put like 60 and change.
Oh, my goodness.
Beloved
it was
Knowles.
62. It was 62, wasn't it?
I was a Lamar Jackson believer, but I never disagree with you, but I'm going to disagree with you on this one. He cost them two possessions. He had an interception, and he also had a fumble. So I know Mark Andrews is the guy has the black hat on that one. But Lamar, I mean, he's got to be clean in the playoffs. And he did have a bad fumble. You know, he carries it like Mike Vick used to, like a loaf of bread. So I get what you're saying, but he's still got to be, I mean, I know it's difficult to ask a man to be letter perfect, but he kind of needs to get that if they're ever going to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And you know what? Let me rephrase what I said. He played better against Buffalo, even with those two turnovers, than what he did against Kansas City the year before.
True that.
Remember, they only scored 10 points. Against Kansas City. Kansas City held them to 10 points. Kansas City beat them only scoring 17 points. But to your point, those are plays you cannot have surface in the playoff games. Because in regular season, you can weather the storm. But when you're playing against good on good, you can't make those costly mistakes. And to your point, those two turnovers were definitely costly in the first half of that ball game.
Right.
Bryant, when we get into the season here, the Falcons get the Seahawks, they get the Niners, they get the Rams, they get the Cardinals. So the NFC West will be featured heavily here in Atlanta with the NFC South. Where do you rank that division right now? Who do you think is the favorite? I think it's as jumbled of a division as the Falcons are going to see all year long. I think, honestly, any of those teams could win it.
With the NFC West?
Yeah.
Oh, number one is the Rams. It's the Rams, and two particular reasons for me. Right, with the Rams. They have the best coach in the division by far. Sean McVay is amazing. His ability to do more with less has really been felt, not to mention the personnel has gotten better. Number two, that young defense that we watched grow before our eyes should be better, led by Jared Verse. You know what I mean? And they're well coached. Think about it this, guys. Their defense, especially towards November and December football, play such good football that we didn't talk about them not having Aaron Donald. Think about that. Like, no one was really talking about, man, they miss Aaron Donald. Or, boy, they can use Aaron Donald. But that's because the young studs really grew. The maturation process for the young players for the on the defensive side for the Rams was really felt. So I think they'll be much better. That's why I start with the Rams. Now, in terms of the pecking order from 2, 3, and 4, I think it can be any order in me personally. But if I had to give my prediction, I think the Rams would be number one. But I can see anything happening, but I got to go with the Rams. I had to pick a team primarily to be the number one coming out of the NFC West.
It's funny because I talk about it all the time with Carl and Chris filling in for Carl today. It's Brian McFadden, guys, in the WaitForIt.com hotline. That's the organization I aspire to Falcons to be.
Yes.
You know, Les Snead, they know when to go in for free agency. They know when to say blank those picks. And you're right, man. And Raheem Morris was part of that draft class you're talking about. 2 years ago, they drafted some great pieces in the middle rounds that had immediate impact. Last year, they took Braden Fisk. And they took the Florida State guys. They got the juice. And that's what we're hoping, which brings us to the Falcons, B, is can this defense, with a bunch of rookies and some good pieces in between, have the impact? And can Leonard Floyd and that rotation get the quarterback on the ground in the first year?
They better. They better. There's a lot of pressure on this defensive side for Atlanta because we all believe they will have an offense that can score points.
Right.
And I don't necessarily need to see the Falcons become super dominant. But you know what fans would love here in Atlanta from the defensive side? Seeing them get timely stops. Getting timely stops.
Right.
Yeah, getting off the field. That's it. Getting timely stops. Because that's more felt than anything. And not to mention good red zone defense. Because if you're getting timely stops and you're forcing teams to settle for field goals, you're going to win a lot more than you will lose. And that has been the issue, you know, for Atlanta over the last, it feels like for a decade now. Like, just getting timely stops, you know what I mean? And even that year, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl, it wasn't like the defense was great, but they were getting the necessary stops to give Matt Ryan the extra possessions to do what they were doing, right? So if you're Atlanta this year defensively, man, get the timely stops. In practices throughout training camp throughout the entire season, it should be a big-time emphasis in red zone football and third down football. Those got to be the two major nuggets for Falcons defensively to focus in on, because everything else will work itself out. But think about this, guys. You can be great on first and second down and be horrible on third down. You're going to lose a lot, right? You can be great in between the 20s, right, but horrible in the red zone, you're going to lose.
And that's
red
us.
Zone and third down right. Got to be overly emphasized this year for the Falcons defensively.
Right.
And that's what they did exactly time and time again. B, so when it comes to the offense for the Falcons, I think a lot of people are super excited about Michael Penix Jr., as they should be. But I think you can also make the argument, very curious to hear your take on this, lean on the run game, because you're not only making things easier for Michael Penix Jr., that's the strength of the offensive line, which is such an important part of this team. And for at least this year, if Tyler Allgeier does leave at the end of this year, utilize that 1-2 punch to make life easier for Michael Penix Jr. and not count on him to just bomb the ball down the field 30 times a game.
Chris, you know what you described for all of us, the Detroit Lions? that's what you described. Yes, leaning on a running game, which made Jared Goff become a better passer in their offense. Leaning on the 1-2 punch, right? And we're not necessarily saying Atlanta could have the Sonic and Knuckles mentality for the nicknames like they have there in Detroit. But those two guys in Bijan Robinson and Tyler, they can have the same type of impact that we see from Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Now, Atlanta fans, it would be up to you guys to give them a nickname when that happens. But right now, we'll worry about that later. But that's a great point. Yeah, because I know we're all mesmerized about the talent of Michael Penix. We are mesmerized about his potential. But don't put too much on his plate starting out. You got Bijan Robinson, who's probably one of the more talented running backs in the entire – clearly he's the most talented running back in the division by far.
Right.
Get him going. And then when he's going – then you can bring in the Bruiser and Tyler. And then that opens up, to your point, Chris, the passing opportunity. So I'm right there with you, man. It's a copycat league. Take what Detroit has done over the last few years, which have made them overly successful, and utilize it here in Atlanta.
Right on, man. And that's funny. We had Mark Schlereth on earlier in the week, and I was talking about, you know, let's just do play action. Mark goes, there's more to it than that. You've really got to establish the run, and you got to see through it. And then certainly with our weapons, we looking at it the other day. I was talking at the end of the show on Wednesday. You know, we got better weapons than the Ravens. You could argue better weapons than half the team in the league. So maximizing the talent with Zach. I mean, I gave Zach a pass because he had to go through the Kirk Cousins meltdown, and the coach is funny because in hindsight we realized that Kirk was never going to tell them how he was playing, and players never want to get pulled off the job, right, Brian? Mm-hmm. So, Brian, yeah. So how much is it really goes back to Ross saying, I gotta sit you? And unfortunately, we waited just too long, and the season's gone. I'm sorry, I've got off on a sidetrack. But do you like what we're doing offensively with this OC, Zach Robinson?
I think so. To your point, it was almost a trial by error type of situation in year one. But year two, you got to see a significant jump from him being a play caller, and then, of course, for the quarterback. But those two will be tied to the hip. Honestly, because if you look at great quarterback play throughout the National Football League, coming from young players or experienced players, guess what they have at their disposal? A great play caller that knows their game in and out. That's why Jaden Daniels was able to do what he did last year, because whatever you want to say about Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach, he has a great ability to get the most out of young quarterbacks when he's just dialed into that position. When you look at C.J. Stroud, especially in year one, great relationship with his play caller. So clearly here in Atlanta, that is something that has to be, you know, paid attention to from the fan side of things and, of course, in the organization. Because if Michael Penix, he's going to be at his best, you know, it's imperative for Zach to be able to unleash that.
Great stuff, Bryant, man. I always appreciate the fun and the shenanigans. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, thank you. You guys too.
That's our man, Brian McFadden, on the WaitFor.com hotline. We're live at Twin Peaks and Bucket. Hasselhoff has just rolled in. Jerry's in the house. Tinker's here. Sexy Brazilian women are watching soccer, and they don't really want to meet you, but come on down and join the party. We're hanging at Twin Peaks and Bucket. We'll come back. We got some Day-Day is scribbling to me. We've got what it says. What does that say?
Oh, that's we have, I believe, a giveaway, Mike. Though.
Okay, because Day-Day just wrote on my page, and I was like, Wausau, the insurance company? No, that's NASCAR. We got two tickets right now for you guys to go Saturday night under the lights, NASCAR racing at Echo Park Speedway. It's going to be a blast. Everyone gets so hyped for the summer race. We'll take caller number 7 right now. You and a buddy or your wife or whoever are going to go to Echo Park Speedway, 404-726-0929.
I am feeling so generous today, Mike Bell. I'm going to up that to a 4-pack.
What? That's crazy talk.
I am going to up that to a 4-pack.
That means we don't give away another pair?
No, that means we may have more tickets to give away in the show as well.
All of a sudden, it's like QVC. But wait, yes, right now we're going to make it a 4-pack.
Yes, for one day only.
You cannot find this in a store. It's now a 4-pack. You're going to get 4 tickets. You're going to see cars racing on what's a mini Talladega. Lights are on at night. People taking their shirts off, drinking beer. You're going to be there. 404-726-0929. 4-pack for Echo Park Speedway under the lights coming up next Saturday night.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.